Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh, this is 050 on the radio. This is Monday, November 23rd, 2015. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time and opportunity to do this show. More than any this week, gotta be thankful. Thanksgiving week, one of my favorite weeks of the year here. It is always my favorite holiday because it means spending time with family, and this is one of the most difficult personally for me as I will not be around too much family this year. So, wanted to give a special shout out to my family, all of them, all across the world, all across the U.S., all across the world, actually, really giving everybody. All right, this is the only show of the week. We'll be here on Friday. We are not going to be going on Thanksgiving. I have refused to do that. We'll go on Friday this week. Yes, Black Friday. I know a lot of y'all will be shopping, but we will be here 9 o'clock to be rolling. Anyway, got to talk about the review in the NFL. In all of football, but I got to talk about one, Golden State Warriors, who last night beat the Denver Nuggets to go 15-0, tied for the best start in the history of the NBA, tied with the 1948-49 Washington Capitals. If you can guess who the head coach of that team is, I'll give you lots of props. And 1993-94 Houston Rockets. And I almost say you might as well be able to put it 16-0 because the only thing standing between them and the best start in the history of the NBA, yes, right, my Los Angeles Lakers, who lost again last night to the Portland Trail Blazers. They're the worst team in the Western Conference by a sizable margin, probably only the 76ers have less talent than that team right now. Now, but anyway, got to talk about the Warriors. They are absolutely fantastic this year. Here offensively, they are one of the most efficient offenses in the history of the game. They're almost Laker-like, and I'm talking Lakers from the mid 80s. They lead the league in scoring with 114.5. The next closest is OKC at 100, just under 110. That's 4 points ahead. The number one in field goal percentage, they shoot just under 49%. The next closest is San Antonio. They shoot just over 47%. Field goal percentage, they're shooting just under 42%. The next closest is Phoenix. They don't even shoot 40%. They don't even shoot 40%. And point differential, they're up 14.4 point differential. That is 96-97 Chicago Bull-like. They are killing the competition. If you look at the individual awards, you can say Steph Curry could be the MVP. You could say Andre Iguodala could be the Sixth Man of the Year. You could say Draymond Green could be Defensive Player of the Year. And how about this? You could say, hey, Luke Walton for Coach of the Year as an interim coach. Because Steve Kerr's not there. They don't even have their normal coach there. They're still 15 and up. They're just rolling over people. Until people learn how to deal with the Warriors, it's going to be a long winter for a lot of people. So, got to give the Warriors their props. They're not getting it. Last year, people slept on their championship run. They had the best record in the league. They win the championship. They had the MVP of the league. They had the championship, the NBA Finals MVP, and people said that everything they did was a fluke. So, now you're giving the NBA champions a chip on their shoulder. Not exactly the way to start the NBA season if you're everybody else. They, on the other hand, are rolling. And the only thing that NBA can hope is that they get injured or they mentally wear down, because there's no way anybody's going to beat this team the way they are rolling right now. Not one team. Not one team in the NBA can beat them the way they're rolling right now. The only team I even think that can be, even compete with them right now, San Antonio Spurs. That's the only team I think can even compete. Right now, they'll beat everybody right now 4-1 if the playoffs were to start today. They are that good. All right, well, got to go to the NFL. Yeesh. Boy, this is not exactly where I want to go to this today, but got to do it. The Skins, well, yes, they were destroyed yesterday by the Carolina Panthers, 44-16. Cam Newton nowadays, is his normal type thing, right? Nah, he decided to go a little bit above and beyond, 246 yards passing. He had 5 touchdowns. He had a QBR of 92.9. Yeah, he was that good. Good. Jonathan Stewart, 21 rushes, 102 yards. They did whatever they wanted. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at the game, everybody here is talking about the Skins defense. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The Skins offense on the road is putrid. Real quick, I got to give these numbers out. Yesterday, they had 5 turnovers, and they only had 196 yards total offense. Now, remember, they had 14 total yards rushing, 12 carries, 14 yards. But if you look at their games, the road games, people have been wondering why they've been losing on the road. How about this? They average 264.8 total yards every game. 264.8. That's like a good Tom. That's like a really hot Tom Brady half for him. Just throwing the ball. Forget total yards. Just throwing the ball. That's a good half for him. They have 6 touchdowns in 5 road games and 14 turnovers. Okay, I'm gonna repeat that again. 6 touchdowns in 5 road games and 14 turnovers. Okay, let me get this straight. You average barely more. You average little more than a touchdown per game, but you almost average 3 turnovers per game, and you expect to win on the road. Not going to happen. And yet they did have a close road loss to Atlanta, and of course they lost on the pick 6. So it is what it is. The Skins, they're 4-6, and around here the season starts. Not going to start today, but next 2 games, it'll tell the season. If they win the next 2 games, you got a season. If they don't, we don't. It's going to be pretty much that simple. Meanwhile, in Detroit, boy, I did not understand yesterday's game. The Raiders, they found a way to lose yesterday's game to the Lions, 18-13. Matthew Stafford wasn't great, threw for 282 yards, had a touchdown run. Megatron had 88 yards receiving. But they didn't really do anything offensively all day. But the Raiders, they scored 13 points in the third quarter. And other than that, they were shut out for the entire game. Worst game I've seen by Amari Cooper. Couldn't catch a pass. Didn't seem like he was really in the game. Derek Carr, he had accuracy issues. Poor game by the Raiders when the Broncos have a hurt Peyton Manning. We'll get to them in a little while, but the fact of the matter is they could have made a run to first place last week, losing to the Vikings. They couldn't score then. They couldn't score against the Lions. What is going on with this offense where they can't put up any points, really putting up points left and right. Now they're struggling to score. Not good for the Raiders. Meanwhile, I've got to go to Atlanta, where the Indianapolis Colts won another one. That's right. They took them boys out 24-21. Matt Hasselbeck. You do understand he's 3-0 as a starting quarterback, right? 213 yards. He had 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. Big play in the game, though. Jaquel Jackson, man, just put him on the Pro Bowl right now with a pick 6 in the fourth quarter to give the Colts the lead. Matt Ryan, he had 3 touchdowns, but he also had 3 interceptions. What about Julio Jones? 9 catches, 160 yards. They got to start finding him in the red zone. You know how good Julio Jones is, and they do not find him in the red zone, Colts stay tied for first place. Why? Because the Texans are starting to get hot. The Texans beat the Jets 24-17. T.J. Yates, backup quarterback, 229 yards and two touchdowns. He was throwing that thing to DeAndre Hopkins, five catches, 118 yards, two touchdowns. What about once they got the lead? Got to talk about J.J. Watt. Watt, multiple sacks again. That is the 19th time he's done that in his career. No one has done that in that span of time since Watt was a rookie. No one has more multiple game sacks than Mr. J.J. Watt. It was really interesting looking at them. They couldn't throw the ball downfield. Well, at least Ryan Fitzpatrick couldn't throw the ball downfield. Bill, what about 0-for-6 throwing the ball 25 yards or more in the air? And then you look it up, he's even worse for the year, 4-for-32 when he throws a ball 25 yards or more in the air. Not good. The Jets, are they about to fade? I'm hoping they're not about to fade, but I think they're about to fade. The Broncos, not a team that about to fade. Playing the Eagles, they might be about to fade. That was an embarrassing loss yesterday. 45-14, Jameis Winston tied a rookie record for throwing five touchdown passes. You had Doug Martin, who ran for 235 yards on 27 carries. The total offense, Buccaneers had 521. They thought they were playing a JV team out there. They're just unbelievable. The Eagles could get nothing started. They had four turnovers, three of them by the hand of Mark Sanchez, three interceptions. He did have two touchdowns. But the Eagles, man, they're really, really in trouble. They got to find a whole new offensive line, if you ask me. That offensive line was horrible yesterday. And no pressure on the defensive line for Jameis Winston. Someone still need to tell me why the teams in the NFC East are insistent on playing the 3-4 defense when they all are terrible at it. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever to have all of these teams playing a 3-4, and no one's good at it. The Skins are horrible at defense. The Cowboys are horrible at defense. The Eagles are horrible at defense. The only team that doesn't run the 3-4 is the team that made the 3-4 famous when Lawrence Taylor was in the house. Don't run a 3-4, and they're the teams who have the two Super Bowls in the last 9 years. Every team with two Super Bowls in the last 9 years. Nobody else does. And that is a sad commentary to speak of. The Eagles couldn't get any pressure on Winston. Boy, he filleted them yesterday. Five touchdown passes, like I said, rookie record. Over in Chicago, the Broncos, they held off the Bears 17-15. Brock Osweiler, he got the start, and he got the victory, 250 yards and two touchdowns. Ronnie Hillman had 102 yards total offense. The Bears, boy, oh, boy, I thought they were going to have this game. And you look at the Broncos, how they were coming in. They were wobbling back and forth. And they were again yesterday. They couldn't score too many points for the Broncos, just enough to stave off the loss. What is up with Chicago? You talk about a Jekyll and Hyde team. Man, they can't figure them out for anything. And part of that has to do with their quarterback. I understand that. But you got Jeremy Langford out there, and you're giving the ball to Dean Carey, who gets nine carries for 32 yards, and you're wondering why isn't Jeremy Langford touching the ball more. But that's another whole story for another day. Biggest game of the day in the NFC North. The Packers went into Minnesota and took down the Vikings 30-13. Now, everybody was getting on Aaron Rodgers because he wasn't Superman the last three games. Okay, no problem. Oh, the problem is Jordy Nelson. Oh, the problem is Peyton. Oh, the problem is, and you got to, you know, all you got to do is play the cut from Aaron Rodgers last year. Yeah, relax, take care of it. And he did, 212 yards, two touchdowns, including a sick throw for the pretty much game-clinching touchdown. And you got Eddie Lacy finally runs well. He had 100 yards. And how about this last two seasons? He's had 400-yard games, three of them against Minnesota, if you can believe that. And Bridgewater had a good game, almost 300 yards passing, but the key for the Packers, they stuffed Adrian Peterson, 13 carries, 45 yards. He did score a touchdown. Meanwhile, in Arizona, the Packers-Vikings might have been the biggest game, but the best game was last night. Ooh, they were getting it. Carson Palmer, you don't hear his name when it comes for MVP status, but boy, is he still at MVP status again. 317 yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions. He's just on another level. He is playing football like he was playing at USC, where he is just flat out. You look at the Bengals, and you're like, are they about to make that swan dive now? Dalton didn't have a bad game. He had 315 yards, two touchdowns. But it seems to me that the Bengals are about to make that swan dive again. And this is before the playoffs. They come up, I understand they just lost, and now this is their second loss, and I get all that. But the Cardinals are not where they were last year, and the Bengals look like they are. Because now the Cardinals have Carson Palmer. They think they can win the whole deal right now. They think they can win it right now. We'll see. The Cardinals looking good. They look good on Sunday night, that's for sure. Got to go to college football real quick. Upset galore. And I don't even know where to start on these upsets. Are you kidding me? Michigan State beats Ohio State. Am I missing something? I got to be missing something here. He wasn't there. And yet Michigan State goes into the shoe and beat Ohio State. Unbelievable. 17-14. Field goal at the end of the game won the deal. But how about Tyler O'Connor? Throwing 89 yards and a touchdown. But the key to Michigan State, it was simple. They ran the ball 51 times for 203 yards. They ran the ball 51 times. How much of an effect was that? Before I start talking about Ohio State, Ohio State ran 45 plays. He won running plays. That shows you they grinded the clock out on them. And when Ohio State got on the field, they got back off the field. They could not run. They could not pass. They couldn't do much of anything. They got dominated in every sense of the fashion. And, again, they had a chance to win because they only lost 17-14. Got to give Michigan State credit. We'll see what happens on Saturday. They play Penn State. You know, crazy things have happened. You let Ohio State somehow slide up in the bowl. You let them slide up in a major bowl game. Who knows what happens? I'm just telling you. If Michigan State loses to Penn State, you have Ohio State beat Michigan, which is big time, then beat undefeated Ohio, which would be big time. You know Ohio State's getting back in the mix. That's just how it is. But if it were me, and I've stated this before, Ezekiel Elliott and Cardale Jones, they would have played their last game on Saturday. Elliott only had 12 touches. He had 33 yards. He complained publicly to the coaches and said he was not coming back. Cardale Jones tweeted that he would not come back. Well, if that's the way they feel, then I would be arrivederci right now. I understand you had a big rivalry versus Michigan. I understand you have a big-time bowl game regardless. But I would be absolutely, you've got to go right now. We'll see how Urban handles that. Discipline has never been as strong suit. So, meanwhile, I am flabbergasted on this one. I thought there was no way Baylor was going to go into Stillwater and beat Oklahoma State, and they did just that, 45-35. Yeah, I just looking at the score, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Not only did Baylor play their backup quarterback, Jerry Stinson, they played their third-string quarterback, Chris Johnson. And combined, they went 17 for 31 for 396 yards, three touchdowns, and a pick. It doesn't get that much better if Seth Russell is still the quarterback. He was – they were great. And, you know, you had Mason Rudolph, one of the, you know, best quarterbacks in the Big 12. He threw for 430 yards. He threw for three touchdowns. But, man, that team, that Baylor team, when they get that offense rolling, they are so solid. And we got to wonder now, the Big 12, are they going to – well, we'll talk about that in a little while. Wow, got to go to the West Coast. What happened to Utah? They lost 17-9. Josh Rosen threw a touchdown pass, and Paul Perkins ran one in. But what has gone on with Utah? Boy, they have fallen on hard times since the Oregon game. And losing this one now gives UCLA all rights and privileges. And now they are one step closer to playing in the Pac-10 championship game versus, that's right, you know, Stanford Cardinal. They won that thing a little while ago. So that is what that is. Hey, what about UConn? UConn, this ain't basketball, I understand, but they went into Houston. Took out the Cougars, 20-17. Nobody else did that this year. Not one other team. Newsom, 32 carries, 114 yards. There was Noel Davis, 7 catches, 108 yards. Just fantastic. Oh, just woo. Watch out, America, America Athletic. These boys can go. The Connecticut defense, 46 yards. Greg Ward did not play. They went back to Kyle Postma, and they were ready for him. College playoffs going to be crazy again. Had a lot of close calls, games that could go either way. You had Notre Dame over Boston College, 16-13. Kisner, 320 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. Not good, but it is what it is. And gotta say, oh, and the game was played in Fenway Park. How about that? That sounds nice. Sounds nice. Nice. Meanwhile, Oklahoma and TCU, another one where you're like, how in the world is this game close? You're looking at the game and you're just like, how is this game close? Look at Baker Mayfield. He threw 2 touchdown passes. Sameen Kareem, 26 carries, 188 yards. He ain't getting no Heisman love. And he did more than the other backs did last year, too. Anyway, Anyway, the Oklahoma comes up, barely gets by TCU, 30-29. TCU was quarterbacked by, all right, let's say it, Bram Kohlhausen. He only threw 420 yards, but he had 2 touchdowns. Aaron Green, 23 carries, 126 yards. TCU decided to go for a 2-point conversion. Once they went for the 2-point conversion, they failed. Game over. Oklahoma barely got through with their chinny chin chin. How about another one? You want another one that barely got through on his chinny chin chin? What about Florida? Florida was playing Florida Atlantic, not Florida State. And they won 20-24 in overtime. And that's a rough deal if you are TCU, because you had a chance to get back in the mix with a victory right there. didn't have your quarterback, and that really hurt. What is Florida doing going, winning, beating Florida Atlantic 20-14? Well, that's what happens when you have very little, I guess, talent at the talent positions. I don't know how that's possible at the University of Florida, but it is. There's Trayvon Harris for 122 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. And we'll see if they can regroup and reload for next week when Florida State is the opponent, not Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic outgained Florida by almost 44 miles. And so we'll see how that rolls. Anyway, got to go to Virginia Tech. Last game by Frank Beamer. Man, it's cold. It's getting to me. One of the real faces in college football had a big ceremony for him. Didn't care about anything about that. If you're a Carolina fan like myself, you cared about the fact that they had a 24-10 lead and found a way to blow it. The game went into overtime. Luckily, they were able to hold Virginia Tech to a field goal. And then Carolina went down the score, won the game 30-27, won the ACC Coastal Division. Marquise Williams, and typical day, 205 yards passing. He scored a touchdown. Ran for 74 more yards and another touchdown. Down Elijah Hood, he had 115 rushing yards and two touchdowns. And, got to give credit to Larry Fedora. To me, I think he's the ACC Coach of the Year. Did not lose a game. Well, stay here at the end. But did not lose a game. Big-time coaching performance. I don't know if he's going to stay at North Carolina or not. But, man, he is way up the ladder now with all the high, high, high-profile jobs that are out there in college football this weekend. Going to round out the top three. That's no real big deal. Clemson took care of Wake Forest, 33-13. I keep on saying Deshaun Watson, he might have to be your guy. 343 yards passing. He had three touchdowns, two interceptions. But you know, Mr. Watson does a little bit more than just throw the football. He runs it as well, and he had 44 yards and another touchdown. It was a pedestrian game by Clemson, 33-13 over Wake Forest. Do I even need to talk about the Alabama game, the 56-6? Are you kidding me? This doesn't make any sense to even play that game, especially at this time of year. I know the Iron Bowl is next week, and I know you need a little bit of a break, but good grief. Charleston Southern, give me a break. What is the matter with the SEC sometimes. People wonder why they hate against them. That's reason number one. Meanwhile, real quick, not even going through a two-minute warning, had a great college basketball game yesterday, but they put it up against the NFL. What is the matter with you people? And ESPN, you're the main culprit. What is going on? Duke played Georgetown yesterday. Classic game. Really good. High quality. Duke, they got another one in Grayson Allen. He was getting it yesterday, 32 points. He hardly missed at all yesterday. Hey, you're like, what is going on here? 9-12 from the field, 9-9 from the free throw line, and hold it, 5-6 from 3-point land. Are you kidding me? Georgetown, they were paced by Isaac Copeland. He is starting to be the man out there. Don't get me started with DSR right now. How in the world are you gonna leave early for the NBA? Come back. And you're not even one of the best players on your team right now. Bradley Hayes and Isaac Copeland are the men. All right, that is the show for today. We're going to be here on Friday, not Thursday. You know Thanksgiving. I don't do anything for that. Toodaloo, and bye-bye.